Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord, everyone. We do give an honor to God for life, health, and strength, thanking Him for a new day that He has let us see to be a part of this ministry show and program tonight. Thanking Him for just looking over us and protecting us, our families and loved ones, and coming down through another week that we have seen so much going on. We do honor God in a very special way because without Him, there's no life through His Son, Jesus Christ. Without Him, there's no source to look to. Without Him, we have no one we can call on to be able to be healed or see situations in our life change for the better. We're going to start out. We're going to have prayer requests, have our prayer, and go from there into the program. We do want to have prayer for the bereaved family, lost loved ones, lost people through the tornadoes, the mass shootings around the world. Our families and loved ones, our companions, children, our schools and their surroundings and teachers, our police force, our in-care home providers. We have so much prayer requests tonight that I'm not going to go into all of them, but we're going to request prayer for the world as a whole, because something is going on all around the world, even though we may not see it. And everybody needs prayer. So let us pray for each and every one. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, just once again, we come before you to say thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness and mercy and love and kindness that you have given us, Lord. Even though we don't deserve it, dear God, but you look down on us and you continue to bless us, dear God. You continue to take care of us, dear Lord, in situations in our life. We don't understand the things that's going on, but we know how blessed that we are, dear God, not to be in these situations, these places where so much bad is happening, dear Lord. Not to say that we may not face something, Lord, but so much evil, so much bad things around the tornadoes, shootings, people that just don't care, Lord, so much evil in the world. We thank you, Lord, for taking care of us where we are, dear God. It's sad to see these things, dear God, but we have your many blessings given us around in our families, loved ones, still to be here, still to be able to pray and look to you, Lord, for everything. We ask you to continue to bless these people, Lord, that's lost loved ones and family, lost homes, everything, dear God, that they've lost, Lord, to have to try to start all over again. And, Lord, they need help. They need prayer. They need Jesus in their lives. And we ask you, Lord, to look over them and continue to take care of them, dear God. No matter the situation, you're still the source on call. And we look to you tonight, dear Lord, and call on you, Lord, to move, Lord, in the situations that we see that's going on. And, Lord, we give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God. We're going to say we give honor to God once again and thanking Him for everything that we are doing here on this ministry program that He has allowed us through His love and kindness and be led by His Holy Spirit to do what thus saith the Lord. Not what we want to do, But we want to be led in the right way by the Holy Spirit to do and share and encourage the best that we can and share the good news to everyone that may be listening, that have called in around and about, because we have love in our hearts for everyone. And this is not no show, form, or fashion. This is truly love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, within us, that we are sharing and doing the will of God for everyone, with no disrespect to anyone or not to hurt anyone, but be honest and truthful to everyone. We're going to start out here tonight, our bishop. We're going to open up with him, some things that we're going to talk about tonight and some things that that's just going on around the world that's not so good in different areas and places. Praise the Lord, Bishop. We're going to open up tonight.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. And
yes, sir.
Thank God for you.
Praise
and thank
the Lord.
God
thank
for
you.
Family. Because
yes,
our title is
yes,
the family knows best. The family knows best. And as I observed the events of this week, the one in Nashville where this lady came in, a 28-year-old female came into the school, shot her way into the school, and with an assault rifle, type that they use in the military. And she took the lives of three adults who was in their 60s and three young people who were 9.
Yes.
And we began to, some of us began to ask the question, why? And some of us, we don't ask the question anymore because we have seen that happen in our community over and over and over again. And with the use of firearms. And people are struggling now. They're really struggling. And it's happening in other communities the way it was happening in our community. And having been in trauma for the last 30 years, it is a trained trauma responder. And with a group there out of D.C. that went international, the thing is, those youth, those young people are the ones that I'm really, really concerned about, because if they don't get the type of help that they need right now, they're going to carry those scars for the rest of their lives. And one of the things that we did, we talked to the parents as well, and help the parents to understand what their young people are going through, whether it was a tornado hit, whether somebody was killed in their family or what. And what's going to happen now with these young people, lots of times they're going to be fearful going back to school, going back to the classroom, because every time they hear a loud noise, that's going to bring that incident back up in them, and that is going to cause them to react in a fearful way, because fear is one of the things that hopefully somebody will sit down and help them to process it. And young as they are, that's fine. They can understand the methods that one can use, and the one can have them to draw pictures, but you sit there with them and be able to explain what it is that they draw after you hear their explanation for it. And then maybe sometime no explanation on your part is even necessary other than, oh, that's okay, all right. And they give them some crayon and let them color. If they can write, want to write a sentence or two about what they feel, because what you're doing, you're helping them to get in touch with what's in them, and they're able to voice it, either by a picture, or maybe if they don't want to do it that way, get them a magazine or a book and let them look at it and let them pick out what it is that they see that relates to how they feel at that moment. Because those feelings, what they feel, is going to keep coming back in them every time they experience a situation or something similar that will come up. And if they don't deal with it, then that's going to leave scars on them mentally sometimes, socially, etc. And people need to be, the adults need to be sensitive. And as the parish nurse mentioned about the media, our media in this country, they always, I think they put too much out on the airwaves, because those children, they're struggling. They're not like the adults, and they're watching the news. And as a result of that, they're prolonging an incident that took place a month ago or so, and they are reminding them, they're bringing back up, and then the children are reliving that experience that they had a month ago. And it is, and she mentioned the church as well. Well, the church can play a role, but let's get, this program is about the family. What is the role that the family plays in this? One of the things that we did where children was impacted in the family, we sat down with the adults, with the parents and the other adults that interact with the children, and help them to understand some of the symptoms that's going to appear after they go through this, maybe tomorrow or next week. One of the things is that they need to be watching for is them urinating in the bed or urinating on themselves. And when stuff like that begin to happen, we taught them how they should respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting. And the nightmares that the children are going to have as a result of this. And help their parents understand that all of these are normal reactions to a traumatic experience that they had. And now you know that it's a normal reaction. Now, what is it that you can do? What are some of the things that you can do to help your child? And then we have what we call triggers. The child might have been eating lunch at the time of the shooting. And sometimes that will trigger whatever they were eating at that time. If they had it again, sometimes that would trigger a response or a remembrance of what they went through. And
yes,
and you know, we let the parents know that there's help out here for them. Also, having been part of a school crisis response team, we would sit down with the teachers and with the school resource officers and help them to understand what was going on, what would be going on in the lives of the children if they was impacted by a traumatic situation or circumstances, and how they should respond to them. And all of this is applied. All of this is putting in place a process that the young people could be a part of that will help them to come into an understanding of what's going on around them and what's happening in their lives. And lastly, she did mention the pandemic and its impact, and then the church. Well, one of the problems, the reason people not going back to these buildings is because during the pandemic, what they got during the time they were sitting there in the pews, they did not feel that it protected them or provided the security that they needed to go through the pandemic. And lastly, the support system. If you don't have that support system, you're going to feel alone. You're going to feel that you're out there on the island and you're all by yourself. And sometimes all it takes is somebody just pick up the phone and say, hi, how are you today? How are you dealing with that situation? Or not even mention the situation. Just mention maybe would you like to go get a sandwich? If it was not around lunchtime that this incident took place, if you're dealing with adults. So the thing is, adults, the family members, the mothers and the fathers, they're going to need that support system there to help them to get through this process, because those who lost a child and those who didn't lose a child, those who lost a child, that your response going to be different, because that person knows that that child is not going to come. There's a void there. And you have to help them to process their situation so that they either will find something to put in that void, so that it's no longer a void, that there will be something in place. And you're going to have to take those whose children are still there with them, the fear that they're going to be going through every time that their child leaves the house and go to that building. So it becomes a situation where the whole community needs to be involved at this point. You're going to have to find a way to help the parents to feel comfortable and secure when their child is going off to school, and to not be sitting there stressed out. Because what happened? Stress, anxiety, depression, all of that stuff is going to come. And then if that's long enough, especially the ones who lost a child, and if their foundation is not there, they might wind up committing suicide. So that's why it is so important. Family becomes so important, whether it's a biological family or not. It could be a community family, a social family. Somebody that reaches out to people and they know that the people are genuine. And I've gotten to the point, I understand our elders, they used to say, just give them Jesus. Well, that was true, the foundation. But now, that doesn't fly. You have to sit with them, talk to them, listen to what they have to say, where they are. And once you do that, then you know how to respond. And sometimes you don't even have to say a word. And that was part of the training I went through. You just sit there. Your presence is all that's necessary for them at that particular point in time, and allow them to start a conversation sometime. And that would be what they needed at that time. But family now, listen to the tornado victims and the community. This lady, I think she was one of the government officials or the one that they were talking to. Well, I got the sense that it is a community. The community responded like the family. They cared for each other. They looked for them, the missing ones. They helped. They were pitching in, helping to clean up. They won't run it over there trying to figure out how to get a dollar to move that piece of wood. They were there, physically present in the lives of the people in that community. and that was family. And a lot of them were family members that they were reaching out to each other. So, yeah, family is very, very important. And what this society has done has attempted to destroy the family. And it is now we're reaping a whirlwind now because mm-hmm. of what has been done with the family. And I could go
Bishop,
on.
I just want to ask the question. Do you think us as family members are doing enough for our young, or paying attention to them enough when they're going through something, or kind of checking with them enough to see how their day went, or paying attention when they have something to talk to us about, or brushing them off, to whereas we're not taking our time to pay attention to our young people when it comes to things like this, and we don't take the time to talk to them enough about situations around how they feel about this.
My response to that is, in some cases, no. And I'm going to have to look, come out of my experience. Sometimes the family, they will ask you, how was your day? They will ask you, how was school whenever you got home? And they will ask you about your homework when you got
so
there.
True.
But now they don't, and a lot of families, they don't do that because the parents are not there, or it's a one-parent family. And whenever I was in the street and I was acting out, my uncles would jack me up. And they would get in my case. And sometimes even their friends would tell them, and then they would get in my case. And sometimes whenever I acted out in the family, they would tell, my uncles would jack me up and say, look, you need to do what they ask you to do so that if you want to go someplace, you would have done everything that they wanted you to do or asked you to do. So now they wouldn't have any real reason for saying you can't go. That I remember that conversation from my Uncle Will, because I was upset because I wanted to go someplace, but he just jacked me up and told me. And then that was within my family. Outside of the family, there was this guy, this elder. He saw me at church. He called me and said, Willie, come in. I want to talk to you. He said, I've been hearing bad things about you. And, you know, you're a teenager. You ain't meant to nothing. You're going to give him that look. And all he said to me was, you need to check yourself.
Right.
And I didn't find out, that was around 1962. And I didn't find out until 1983 what I had done. And what I had done was poured beer on his son, and his son went home and had to tell. Well, because he thought enough of me to tell me that I need to check myself, then I started wondering, what is it that I've done? And I did start checking myself. And so we don't have that anymore. Our adults are afraid of our youth. And I saw that right there in Baltimore. I work with young people, especially them brothers that I call pharmaceutical specialists that was out there on them corners. A lot of them will tell you, if you took time to sit down and talk to them, they would tell you they don't want to be there. They prefer to be doing something else. But there are certain things, some of them was out there because they were the breadwinners of their family. Again,
right.
Back to family, back to the answer to your question. Here the young people were had the role of the parent. Because
mm-hmm.
either the parent was incarcerated or the parents were strung out on drugs or the parent didn't have a job at that particular point in time or the parent was too sick. One of the situations, the mother was on dialysis. So she couldn't work. So he was out there doing the drug thing, selling weed or whatever he was selling, trying to raise money because that was the only he confessed to me. He said, man, I can go to McDonald's, but I can't make enough money to do what
mm-hmm.
needs to be done in my home.
So
true. Yeah, there's a big change, a big shift that's taking place in the family. And
really
we don't have time anymore to deal with our young people. We're too caught up into ourselves, or we're too caught up into doing a work. And I know I grew up on a farm, and we had our chores laid out, but there was a lot
mm-hmm.
of parents that lived in the city. And they had to work one work in the morning, one work during the afternoon, and one work at night. So somebody would be
mm-hmm.
around for the children.
So true.
But that wasn't really sufficient enough to really deal with the children and the situation that they were facing.
And now we got so many of these young kids. When we was young growing up, we come home in the evening, and the first thing dad and mom would let us know when you get home, you're going to do your chores, get your wood
mm-hmm.
in, draw your water from the well, get everything
mm-hmm.
situated in, enough for everything. Then you're going to get in here, you're going to do your homework. You don't
mm-hmm.
get to go outside and play with the boys and everything until your homework's done and your chores is done. Then,
that's right.
If you got enough and there was enough daylight left, then you got to go play a little bit until the streetlights come on. When the streetlights came on, you was in the house. You wasn't out there running the roads, running the streets, none of that. Didn't happen. So once you learned your routine of what you had to do, it made you want to jump on it as soon as you got home because you wanted to play with the rest of the crowd. So you knew what you had to do, and you did it. And if you didn't do it, you know what was going to happen. And then on the weekdays that you didn't have school, there still was a certain limit in time that you had to be in. You still didn't pick and choose that you wanted to stay out all as long as you wanted to. They give you a time still to be in. It might be a little bit more than what you got to do through the week on the school nights. But on the weekend nights, from it being 7 or 8 o'clock that you had to be in school nights, you might get to go to 10 o'clock. At 11 and 12, wasn't too often when you was younger growing up. Until you got, you know, maybe 16, 17 and above. But you still had to respect that time that they give you. And mama would always take the time. And when you did your homework, you had to pull your book out, do your reading. And she took her time out for each one of us to do our reading. And on the weekends, when we got up, it wasn't looking at no TV all morning. As soon as you got up, you ate breakfast, started cleaning house. Once you got your housework done, you might get to look at a little bit of the cartoons. Then they sent you outside on the weekend. You don't come in, they call you. You get a drink of water, you go outside. You don't sit up in the house and not do nothing all day. That's just the way it was when we was younger. We had a routine the way things was. Parents really kept a check. And if you go to the neighbor or I don't care if it was up the road out of sight from your house and you went to visit some of the other family and friends, if you messed up, their parents got on to you just like your parents got on to you. And if they had to whoop you, they would. And your mama and daddy would let them know if they act up, whoop them, get them, and call us and let us know. And once they get home, because they didn't know how to act, we're going to get them too. So back then, it was a neighborhood thing, a family of neighborhood that they took control. And everybody in the neighborhood's parents had an opportunity to whoop the children if they didn't listen when they come to their house. You went to their house when their kids ate. They offer you food. If you wanted it, you ate. And, you know, it was just one of them things the way we grew up when we was younger, with a lot more respect and honor towards the elderly or the older people. And I don't feel that it's enough of that now, because most young ladies are getting pregnant at a young age, and the young men that's getting them pregnant, that's all that they're in for the sex. And once the pregnancy comes on, they go on and disappear. So there you are with a child without a father in his life, or a mother that's on drugs trying to take care of a child. And she's still young and don't understand the things of how to do this. And she don't have enough help in her life to teach her how to be a mother as she start out from a young age. And then as her children's getting older, she's still doing the same thing as they grow up and they're doing. And before long, they're doing all the same thing together. And then you got all of these games that the kids sit in and play, the killing, the shooting, the zombie, and all of these kind of games that they like to play. And they're looking at this. And some of that stuff gets stuck in their heads, and they start plotting. So much has built up in them, especially when somebody says something to them, and the thought of the way that these games are put into their minds and their heads. You know, back then, a whole lot of the rap music that we listened to, some of it had good meaning to let you know what was to come and how things was, the outcome was. The ones they got now coming up abuses the women, put down the women, and the women respected this and took it as respect to what the men was talking and downgrading them and things. And the men started to do the same thing to the women. So everything flip-flop for the worse.
Yes.
No one cares for anybody no more. No one appreciates or respects anybody anymore. Their children don't respect them enough to where as they listen to them when they tell them to do something, the child might talk back and tell them to do something. And they laugh and think it's funny. So we have a lot of things that was back when we was younger growing up that has changed for the worse now. But we still have to talk. There's still some that you can reach. If you can reach one that may be able to help another that they're around. Continue to do this and continue to pray and ask the Lord as we share it with them and reach them that they may take heed to it and take the time to talk to their young children, see how things is going in their life. Because some of these kids are seeing things at a young age that they shouldn't see.
That's
some
right.
Some of them going through things in their young life that they shouldn't go through. Some of them's going through a situation where the parents is getting these food stamps, selling them, and leaving their children with nothing to eat. And they're wondering why they don't have enough to eat, because the mom or the father is selling all the food stamps for their drug calls. And it's not right. It's not right, because kids are the ones that's truly suffering, because they don't have enough people in their lives to care for them. And it's sad when you look at the situation, because we love the children. We love family. We love to enjoy times with our families. But family have got away from family. The ones in the glue that kept the families together back then has all passed and gone on. So it was up to the next generation to try to do this to keep the family together. And along the way, somewhere, it got turned around, and the family just spread it, and everything just passed on. It wasn't as they come together anymore. So we have to continue to pray and show our youngsters respect, to let them know we're still praying for you. We love you. And I tell some of them right now, if you feel like anything that you want to talk about, I'm not going to bash you. I just want you to talk to me and let me listen to see what's going on. I may be able to give you an encouraging word to help you, because some of the things that you're going through, I've been there, done that.
That's right.
Seen it to the point to where I can do something to tell you something that may be able to help you in a situation in your life or your kids or something, because I have a change in my life. When Christ accepted me and gave me the opportunity to change, he didn't give me that opportunity by myself. He gave me something to go with it, to give encouragement to the next person, to share love with them where they feel that love is not, to share something with them that make them feel like worth something instead of being put down. That's like my mom used to tell my sister when she had her girls and they was young, and she'd get mad. You crazy thing, you need to do that. Mama said, don't you never talk to them girls like that. Said, you say things to them, and they begin to feel that that's the way their life feels. And they grow up feeling that they're not worth nothing or they are nothing. You keep telling a child, well, you stupid. You can't learn nothing. If you tell that child that enough, they feel like that they can't. So you have to be positive when you talk to these young people and let them know there's chances for you in life, and there's a better life for you in Christ Jesus if you feel that you want to change. And we have to continue to encourage them and let them know these things. The people that has lost homes, all we can do is pray and encourage them and do the best we can in order to help do what we can. Because God is speaking. I truly believe he's trying to get people's attention, and people don't take heed to this. It's time for a change in people's life. We have to realize we have to take it to him. We have to live for a better life in Christ Jesus. God knows what he's doing. We truly hate that all of this has happened and the way that it has happened for people. But when we got a just God that's in charge, he knows all about it. And the thing is, it's a sad feeling to see it. And at the same time, we don't understand why things like this happen. But God only knows. We have to continue to show that love and just keep it moving and praying and do the best we can for what we can do. Because people's hurting, children's hurting, families are hurting. They need somebody to encourage them, to let them know that it's all right to go through these things. Because it gets better as we continue to look to the Lord for his help. Mm-hmm. Bishop, we're going to open up this other caller and see if anyone has anything that they may want to say about the things that are happening around the world with the mass shootings, the hurricane, I mean the tornadoes, and the people that's going through situations in life, or see if they may be able to say anything on what could help in a better way to bring up our youngsters and to be able to be an encouraging to them in any kind of way. Hello, callers. Praise the Lord. We have your mics open. Would anyone like to comment?
Well, just like you're saying, it is dark thinking. Because just like the tornado that came through and flattened all that town, that's God still speaking out. Because that wasn't man that did that. That was God.
Yeah.
And he's still trying to get the people's attention. Lord, those people was, so many lives was taken. And just like, and where the children was killed in the school and the three adults was killed, that's still yet God speaking and trying to get the people's attention. And the Bible's fulfilling right before our eyes. But seems like people still not wanting to turn to God, but God is still speaking. Because time is, Jesus is coming back just like he said he would.
Yes,
but people still seem to not want to realize that it's God speaking. But we as people of God, we see what is happening. Because he's coming back just like he said he would. It's God speaking and trying to get people's attention. Just like the days of Noah when he was building the ark. Nobody wanted to believe it. Nobody wanted to believe the cry that Jesus, that Noah was preaching during that time. And
that's
nobody
right.
was saved but Noah and his family.
But mm-hmm.
God is still speaking today. He's speaking today. He's the warning out there. But people still act like they're going to live forever. But he's still speaking today. But the ones that God knows that's coming in, they're going to be saved.
Yes.
But he's still speaking today and giving people a chance.
Yes, he is.
To be saved. But it's up to each individual to receive what Jesus did on the cross. Because
Amen.
When he hung on the cross, the sins of the world went into him. And all
mm-hmm.
people have to do is believe what he did on the cross.
That's
and
right.
receive what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the sins of the past, the present, and the future went into Jesus
mm-hmm.
on the cross. He paid the price. All we have, the people have to do is just believe and
mm-hmm.
repent and receive what he did on the cross and confess with their mouth and they shall be saved. He paid the price.
He did.
And that's all they have to do. Praise God. Praise God.
You know, it's so easy, but people
mm-hmm.
are making it so hard.
And
we who are spiritual leaders, we are part of that. We tell people
uh-huh.
you got to jump
uh-huh.
through this hoop and jump through that hoop.
Uh-huh.
And
make
then
it so hard.
It's gotten so bad now until you got
mm-hmm.
people who are telling people you got to bring your W-2 forms in and we got to determine how much you're going to be given. That's
and it
not
don't
biblical.
Supposed to be that way. It don't supposed to be that
That's
way.
That's right. That's absolutely
don't
right.
To mm-mm.
And that's happening right here in Charlotte.
And all that. He don't tell you that. Man-made. His
That's right.
He don't tell us that. Lord have mercy. What man
and
wants.
So, yeah, and that's why a lot of people, the church, that's why the church can't really respond to the community because of what they're doing, the way people perceive the church now. It's not like it was whenever we were coming along. The church was a place that if you had a problem, you had a crisis, anything, that church was in that community. They were at your house.
Yes, they were.
Church, the people.
Yes, they were.
The people were at your house, and you saw the Christ in them. Whether I know houses used to burn down, and then they would have a house raising service, not service, house raising celebration, if you want to call it that, because they would go over and come together and rebuild that house, repair it. And they didn't charge the people nothing. But
well,
now
it was love.
That,
no. It was love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Yep.
But a lot of
I
times.
I can remember many times back then in the community, if the families didn't have enough food to eat, some of the missionary women would get together and they'd go get bags of food and they'd chew up at your door. And drop something off because they know that you was in need, and they didn't have a second thought about it. They love to do it.
Now you
don't have enough love shown like that because that's the way back then that they believed in doing in the community, and it didn't matter whose house it was. You didn't have to be a member of that church. You didn't have to go to that church. But if you was in need and they seen that you was in need, they showed up.
It didn't matter what color you were either.
That's right. It didn't matter.
It didn't matter. You could be white, blue, purple, or green.
Yep.
They saw that you had a need and you had a problem. They reached out to you.
They showed up.
And,
that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be now. But it's not supposed to be.
You should leave your house with your doors open.
That's
right. Didn't have about nobody going in your house messing. Everybody was looking out for everybody's house. Nobody had to worry about it. You could leave your door open and just the screen door closed, be gone all day long. And everything was the same when you come back.
But you could leave.
But they preach now about prosperity and all this stuff now. But it's supposed to be about love your neighbor. That's what it's supposed to be about. That's what Jesus is. It's love your neighbor.
Don't forget repentance and because he reconciles us back to the Father, and you can't get reconciled if you don't repent.
Reconciliation, that's what it's about.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yes, that's what it's about. Yes.
The men have to keep repenting because a lot of these things that we see wasn't enough of us in the home. To do what our responsibility was, and the women, even though they could bring the child up, but they couldn't teach the men the manly thing that they needed to do and the manly way that they needed to heal enough to where the man would listen as they got older and got out there. And you got a lot of them that got out there, they thought they was bigger and better than anybody else. But my mama used to tell me when I was I had an attitude when I was younger. She said, "You remember this?" She said, "I'm gonna tell you. You better get rid of that attitude." She said, "There's always somebody bigger and badder than you." Thank you.
Than you.
That's what she would tell me. Said, you might think you are. Said, but there's always somebody. Said, if you don't lose that attitude the way you are, bucking up and getting mad at people, said, there's always somebody bigger and badder in the world than you are. And she was right.
That's
you know,
right.
You took heed on things like that later on in life. The older you got, the more you've seen, you know. And we don't have enough in the world today for the young men that think that they are. And a lot because of it, a lot of them's dead and gone because they thought they were something that they wasn't. And they stepped up to people. People just pulled the gun out, shot them or whatever.
Yeah. That's right.
And that's the way it goes in life. So, you know, she let me know to take heed that you're not the only big and bad one out there. You better watch
yourself.
That's true.
That's like you went back and said, Bishop, when you said your uncle told you, you better check yourself. That's what she was telling me. Check yourself.
Check yourself.
Because somebody better than you, you get out there, and then you get in a situation, and what happened, you gone.
That's right.
You have to realize
they
were telling us things for the better. And the good of our lives when we was younger growing up. And a lot of us have lived and God has blessed us to see it, to look back on now. It's truly a blessing because we're able to look back and share some of those same things that we were taught that was meant to help us. Then we didn't think it was so much of a help. But as we look back on it now, we think about how much good it did us through life. Think about it now that we can help someone else if they willing to sit down and let someone just explain to them things in life because we've been through a lot of things as we grew up. We've seen a lot of things and helped with a lot of things. For these young men, if they're willing to open up and listen. See, back then, we'd tell them, well, man, if they do this or do that, you know what you need to do. You need to step up and fight them, man. They're not fighting no more.
No.
Talking about fighting, and they pull out anything, 9mm or whatever, and just shoot you, and that's it.
Right.
So we've learned things in life growing up. That we could be a great help to these young men if we could reach some of them enough and make them understand more in life than being big and bad and want to get there and be ruler over this one or that one, you know, and let them just know about Christ. Let them know that Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. Let them know the whole process of Christ, what he's done. And what he can do for them if they're willing to open up to him and accept him, repent, confess, and ask him into your life because he is the source. That's like I listened to Dr. Tony Evans. He said, Christ is your only source. Everything else, your job, your paycheck, your car, anything else, past that is a resource. But Christ is the only
source
to everything in your life. And that's true. When you go to look at it, he is the source to everything. And we have to look at it that way and pray and put it in his hands and hope that we can reach someone in some kind of way and be a help. That's why I thank the Lord for Bishop, you know, this program here that he has got started with the programs and things to where people can hear things in a spiritual way that might be a help or encouragement to them and that someone would find Christ in their life because that's what we're all about. We're all about sharing the good news to each and every one. Just trying to get them to understand, as bad as the world is, Jesus is still the source of it
He's the source. He is.
Bishop, anything else you want to say? I see another caller, 509-521-7779. Would you like to have anything to say?
Praise God.
Well, Bishop, you have something else you would like to go ahead and share? Or
one of the things that we who are the adults, we are elders now, as you were saying before. We are the elders, and we're going to have to begin to think like elders think. Otherwise, our communities and our young people are going to remain lost. But whenever we assume the role of an elder and know what that is and act like it in the family, in our household, because none of us was given a lesson in how to be a parent. But it's trial and errors, and we know some of the things that we went through that we knew that we didn't like, that was wrong. So we don't do that. And one other thing that we haven't done, we have not communicated what we were given to our offspring. And that's sad, but we didn't. We were too busy caught up in ourselves and doing you. And then we got caught up with the Benjamins.
That's right.
I remember a friend of mine, he told us, it was a group of us, his brothers and myself, and we were there drinking them up and telling lies. And he said, you know what, y'all? My wife left me because I didn't spend enough time with her. I was too busy. I built her a brick house. And this was way back when. And right there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, he built her a brick house. And she divorced him. And you know, he was the older, but evidently most of us, some of us listened to him, but one or two didn't because they had divorced. And that was their brother. And we got to learn to listen and realize that money is not everything.
That's right.
So
no, it's not.
And it can't buy everything either.
No, it can't.
All right.
I've seen there was a millionaire on TV talking the same thing. He said, you know, I've got a lot of money. And said, I've got a lot of things, can buy just about anything. He's a billionaire. That he could buy anything that he wanted and everything. Said, but he just wasn't happy. This was before he died. And he had found Christ in the process, and he talked about how all of these things affected him in life. He said, but the thing about it is, said, I didn't think about all of these things when I was doing and making my money and building my money up and everything, how unhappy that I truly was until he found Christ. And he said after he had found Christ, because he found out that he had cancer, and what nothing his money could do to save him from the cancer that he had. And he talked about how God had come into his life and changed him. His son Jesus had saved him and changed his life and let him look at his life over again to see that everything that he had didn't mean nothing if he didn't have Christ in his life. And he gave his life to the Lord. He needed a big sum of his money to different causes for cancer programs and other things and things like that. And it let me see a billionaire talking about how unhappy he was and could have anything that he wanted. But there was something free there that didn't cost him a thing. All he had to do is repent and receive it. And that's what he did.
See?
We'll hear that. and let them know that Jesus Christ is the reason for everything, the source
that's
for
right.
everything. And
he
that's
is.
Who we need to look to and who we need in our lives.
That's who we need in our lives. That's right.
So I
Thank
love
him.
Everyone. Thank God for each and everyone's input, the program mm-hmm. tonight. And thanking God for each and every one of you. Hope you have a blessed night until we can come together again. Shalom.
Shalom.
Mm-hmm.